This is Radio Kate here at the Welcome Centre in Walthamstow, where we have set up a makeshift canteen for some of the police officers who've been working extremely hard to try and keep us all safe. And with me is Borough Chief Superintendent Steve Wisby. Have I got your title right there?
Yeah, that's me, Steve Wisby. I'm the Borough Commander for Waltham Forest.
Oh, even more important sounding than I just said.
No, my role is obviously with around 900 officers and staff to police Waltham Forest on a day-to-day basis, which, you know, just... it's all about making the community safe and working in partnership with local authority, with MPs and the community as a whole. But we just find ourselves in a bit of a position at the moment, don't we, with what's going on, not just in London, but nationally, where we've got young people primarily who, for whatever reasons and causes I don't fully understand how we got to this situation, that are now disrupting the life of many others. It's criminal, it's theft. It's damaging businesses. You know, people are going to be unemployed as a result of some of the damage that's been occurred. It's going to affect people's quality of life. Most importantly, it's raising fear of crime. There's an awful lot of people that are not going to be affected by this, who are not going to be victims themselves or affected by it, but actually they sit in their homes now fearing they may be, and that's going to have an adverse effect. So my role at the moment is to use my 900 staff, the 50,000 people that work for the Metropolitan Police, and the wider community, because there's 250,000 people in Waltham Forest who actually all want the same thing. That's a nice quality of life. So at the moment we find ourselves obviously having to respond to spontaneous incidents, dealing with crime, officers working long hours. Many of them live outside London, so if you look at 4 hours travelling a day and an 18-hour shift, it's quite an impact. But the real positive thing, and we often lose sight of this, as to what's happened over the last 2 days, is the way the community have come together. And you know, the hairs at the moment are standing up on my arm just thinking about it. Like tonight in the Welcome Centre, local residents who decided they wanted to do something, they wanted to help and wanted to work with the police, you know, to say, not in my name, not on my doorstep. So, you know, the refreshments that are being provided for officers that can't get to canteens and who are going to do long hours is really welcoming. And I think that's why I enjoy working at Waltham Forest.
So is it true, though, that there isn't a canteen for your officers here?
No, there's no canteens in police stations in Waltham Forest now. You know, I do like my staff to obviously spend time in the community and talk to the community, because that's what it's about. It's about being visible. Because ultimately, my job, we've got two priorities. One is about safety, and the other is about confidence. People having confidence to live and fulfil their potential in life. And part of that, just one thing, is for us to spend time in local cafes, drinking tea locally, taking our refreshments locally. So things like you've done today is just helping us. But no, we don't have any canteens inside police stations now.
I mean, it's just been really hard. I mean, I'm a Londoner, born and bred, and, you know, I'm finding it hard. You know, I have a background as a journalist, so I feel I should be very, you know, removed from this. But this is my city, this is my town, and it's upsetting. And, you know, I've had friends who were journalists in Egypt, and they said to me that they had real trouble during the revolution. You know, were they a journalist or were they an Egyptian? And I'm feeling that, and I'm a Londoner, and I'm so kind of frustrated. I'm sitting at home, I'm watching this stuff on the news, I'm watching, you know, fires blazing and people just, you know, walking to shops in broad daylight and ripping televisions off the wall, and I'm just thinking, I want to do something. You know, all I can do is come down here, and, you know, we served 15 officers with a cup of tea this afternoon and had a chat and wished them well when they all got called out to do something. I mean, it doesn't feel enough, but does it help you in any way?
Listen, we all have different skills, experiences, we all have different knowledge, and it's about working as a team. You know, I'm a police officer, I'm about enforcing the law, it's about arresting bad people. You know, the principles have been in the police service, or the police service principles have not changed since 1829. Prevent crime, detect crime, save life. That's what happened in 1829, that's what happened in 2011, but that's what I do. We've got political leaders that are, you know, that are working on long-term solutions. We've got youth workers working with young people and others that work with older people. It's about businesses, it's about the environment and keeping it clean. So it's everyone doing their own little piece. I'm no more important or less than yourself or anyone else that may listen to this piece. So as long as we work as a team and set some values and standards, and, you know, deep down inside, one of my concerns is a lot of these young people, for whatever reason they're doing it, don't understand the impact. You know, there is a risk that they may become a victim. More importantly, they might actually end up as an offender in prison with a criminal record, and the impact that's going to have on their life for the it could affect their employment in the future. It could affect countries that they may not be able to visit. There may be young people at one stage in the future get married, have a family, come into some money, want to visit a certain country on a holiday and won't get in because they have a criminal record. So this could have a huge impact on people's lives. So we've got to work with the young people. We've got to work with the community. Most importantly, we've got to return to normality quickly. I had a meeting with the council today and others, and they're working with us, particularly around keeping places clean and tidy. If there is any debris, picking it up, getting rid of it quickly. The media piece is really important, particularly around tackling the rumours and the gossip. You know, I suggest that 90% of the information that I've been given today about what's apparently occurring has been rumour and gossip and untrue.
So how can people find out what really is going on? I mean, there's been a lot of stuff on Twitter, and, you know, I pick through it, and I'm very careful usually about what I tweet, but, you know, there's just so much information at the moment. There's just reports coming from all over the place, and you just, it's really hard to know what to believe. You're seeing stuff on the television, you know, I'm just now I'm hearing sirens going by, and you know, I could easily believe that something terrible was happening really close, and I wouldn't know.
Well, that comes down to the communication plan. It means accurate, timely, relevant communications to the people that need to know. So we as a police service and my staff, we put out regular updates into the local media, into local community groups. We do use some social networking sites. We do the internet. Things like now, me talking to you. So there's a whole raft. But what I would say to people that are listening to this and yourself is, talk to us. If you see a police officer walking down the street, come up, say hello, ask them what they're doing, ask them what's going on. If you've got any questions or concerns, raise it. Your safer neighbourhood teams, you know, we invest hugely in community police. Every borough in London has a dedicated, you know, safer neighbourhood team. Who are, you know, do you know who yours are? Do the people listening know who theirs are? You know, we do try to get that message out. So talk to us, let us talk to you, any questions asked. But otherwise, we do have a whole raft of mediums in which we get messages out.
I mean, the stuff that's happening at the moment really is quite out. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Do you feel that your force is, you know, sufficiently equipped to deal with this? Because there are so many people out on the streets. You know, I did actually stop and talk to a police officer on my way to work on Monday, and he said that, you know, they were struggling, and it's very hard to deal with these big gangs. And they were talking about some colleagues that had actually been run over, you know, in the course of duty on the Sunday night, I think it was. You know, I mean, how difficult is it for your officers that are out there?
It's a difficult job, yeah, and they're my officers that were run over on Sunday night.
Are they okay?
Yeah, they're fine, yeah. That, you know, they had some superficial injuries and they were very lucky, but they arrived at the scene of a burglary when the criminals, the offenders, were making off and clearly didn't stop. And obviously we're investigating that, but the officers are fine, so that's really important. It is a difficult job. But that's what we're trained to do. That's what we get paid to do. You know, would I like more police officers? Well, I'd like more. I'd like more money. I'd like more resources. We'd all like more in life, but it's about getting the balance right. What the Metropolitan Police are really, really good at is critical incidents, serious incidents. So when there is a train crash, a bus crash, there is serious disorder, we've got specialist people with skills, with knowledge and experience that come together to respond to it. Yes, it means that other areas of business don't get done for a couple of days, but it's about priorities. We're here to tackle the risk and the harm and improve people's qualities of life. So yes, difficult, challenging, well within our capabilities. 50,000 people in the Metropolitan Police. You know, that's more than some countries. You know, our budget runs into billions. That's more than some countries' budgets. So I'm really happy with the resources and the skills. We will deal with this problem. It will be dealt with effectively. Underneath all of this, it's important that we look long-term what the causes were and how we can design this out in the future. And I suggest a lot of that is through education with young people. And we have some huge... Waltham Forest, I would say, has got one of the most innovative and creative gang intervention programmes. For the last year, the council, the community and the police have come together to get into the gangs, understanding the causes. You can't arrest your way out of these problems. It's about problem solving. You know, people go to prison, they're going to come out again. So it's about education. So we've got a gangs, but that's just one. I've got police officers that work in every school in the borough that are involved in lesson planning and speaking to young people, diversionary activities. education programmes, raising awareness of personal safety. Mm-hmm. Because let's not forget, we all have a personal responsibility for our own safety. Mm-hmm. You know,
if so you're doing a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily always hear about, that kind of stuff, though. It's, I mean, it sounds like you're working very hard, but, you know, often the media will just report, you know, the bad things that the police do, and it's sometimes hard to find out about these other initiatives that you're doing.
You know, I've got a lot of time for the media and the press. I think we need a free press. You know, you've got to challenge and question and probe and make sure that I'm and other public servants are doing their business correctly. But ultimately, I can't control what you decide to report or not. I can tell you about these things, and we do tell people about these things. If they decide not to print that or talk about that, that's real difficulty. But however, my challenge is to keep it on the agenda, keep raising the subject, hence I'm talking about it now, and I will keep on talking about it, because there's an awful lot of good work the community, and not the police, you know, the police are the public, you know, we live in these communities. I want the same things as you, so that's what I get paid for, and we will keep doing, including the 900 officers and volunteers that work in Waltham Forest regularly.
So just sort of two questions on a more sort of practical level. I'm just thinking, you know, with all these youths and people out there rioting and looting, and you've got your police out there trying to protect the public, trying to protect the properties, and also, you know, trying to enforce the law. Does there become is there ever a kind of dilemma between, you know, either we are on the street protecting these areas, or we are arresting people and then taking them to the cells? I mean, how do you balance that? How are you actually dealing with that on a practical level?
It's intelligence. It's about risk and harm. If there is a need to, because at the end of the day, we arrested everybody committing a crime. My officers are in the police stations and not on the streets. So you're right, it is a dilemma. So risk, harm, prioritise activities. I believe in positive police action, and that's about early intervention. If my officers are on the street and they see an individual who's thinking about committing a crime or potentially might commit a crime, then intervene. And that might just be words of advice, telling you not to do it, telling you to go away, or else. It might be about taking a name and address and warning someone. And we can escalate that up to an arrest. So there is a phasing of activities. But if there's harm, there's risk, and it's necessary, and we arrest people at the time, we will do that.
Is there any truth that you've sort of run out of police cells in London with the number of people being arrested?
No, not at all. Sometimes... No, we haven't. Depending on where a person's arrested, and actually with this incident, some people arrested in London were taken out of London. But of course, if you border a county force, the cells might be slightly closer than travelling across London. But no, we've not run out of cell space. We've got a brand new in Waltham Forest, state-of-the-art custody centre, 30 cells. We've not had to worry about where we take prisoners.
Okay, and it's 20 past eight now on... Tuesdays, losing track of days. I was up so late last night. What do you think is going to happen tonight? I mean, we had a lot of awful stuff going on last night. It was terrible watching on the news. Do you think it's going to flare up again, or because you've got more police on the streets, do you think it will be a bit calmer tonight?
Professional judgment. I'm happy that we have a really robust plan. There's some real command and control and some grip over this. Our intelligence processes are sound. We've arrested an awful lot of people. Those individuals, many of them are now charged, appearing before courts. Before long, I would expect some strong sentences to be publicised, which will dissuade other people. Today the Commissioner announced that as of today we're going to have 16,000 officers on the streets in uniform. I've done that this evening. I've got officers out of offices, my CID are patrolling people that don't normally. I've got a warm feeling about tonight, but we'll have to wait and see. There's going to be no complacency. And the bottom line is, if someone commits an offence, there's strong enforcement. They're going to be arrested. They're going before the courts, and I'm going to push for the strongest sentence.
Great, thank you ever so much for your time, and I'm going to let you go on and either go and police our streets or enjoy a well-earned piece of cake and a cup of tea. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, and thanks for everything that the rest of the community are doing.
Well, we're just trying to do our bit because it means a lot.